Today our lesson is a Christian devotion, and it is the unit theme is the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus, and I would say his declaration of independence, his declaration of change or fulfillment from the, you've heard that it was said, meaning the Old Testament and the Pharisees and Sadducees making up their laws. But then Jesus comes along and says, but you've heard that it was said, but I say unto you. So Jesus is, changing things around and helping, giving a new foundation for the Christian faith. And today we're looking at Matthew chapter 6, and it's Jesus continues his teaching and the watchwords for the last lesson in this one is inside out. That if it's not on the inside, it's not going to come on the outside, because the Pharisees and so on, they were very much in being a display and so on. Even talks about today sounding a trumpet for giving your alms. That's not what it is. You're to be you're to do it in silence. God will reward you openly. So anyhow, the public display of righteousness was something which Jesus is trying to bring to the attention of his followers. And the public display of righteousness is charity, prayer, and fasting. So those would be the three main articles, or three main foundational principles for our relationship with Christ and in the community: charity, prayer, and fasting. We find that Jesus, where do we go here? Wanting his disciples to give, pray, and fast, that we should do so in secret, because our Father who sees in secret will himself reward us openly. So again, this is a new teaching for the people, because they are used to the leaders of the Hebrew faith. The Pharisees and scribes and all them, they dressed in expensive garments and, they made a big show of everything that they were going to do. Somewhere in here it says, let your light so shine before men. So the contrast is when Jesus is telling us to let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. Well, they would say that that's a contradiction to the being done in secret. But how can people see our good works if we perform them in secret? So Jesus was referring to our essential traits as Christians. If we embody the character of the blessed person in the Beatitudes, we naturally become the light that is on the hill. So we are not looking for trying to put ourselves up on the scale for people to admire us, that in society we're one up and we're who's better than us. I was watching this documentary on the Arab state, the big wealthy, is it Bidai? Dubai, that's it, Dubai. And the people who are the workers, they have migrants that come in and they're the slaves. They pay them practically nothing to do all the building. Half of the buildings, what this person said, half of the buildings in Dubai are empty. they're not full. And that big tower, it's only about half full. It's at the top and the bottom, but the middle is just metal. But one of the things is it's illegal to go bankrupt, okay? So they have a car pound where people just abandon their cars, Bugattis and, Rolls Royce and, the most expensive cars on the planet. People are driving them around, but when they run out of money, they leave the country. One of the big problems is with the people who are raised, the young people in Buddha, whatever it is, Dubai, they have this tremendous pressure that people will think that they are not wealthy. So they will spend $50,000 on a meal, you know, and you know they the most wasted amount of food in the world is in Dubai, because people, it's so extravagant and it's shipped in from all over the world, and these people are putting on these lavish parties just to prove that they're not, that they have enough, they have a lot of money. And in Dubai, the Arabs, the people who live or are natural citizens of that area, they get a stipend from the oil industry, so they don't have to work. They don't have to, they just get money every month from the oil industry to pay them to live there. So it's, you know, I was going to start that next week, you know, pay people to come to church, you know. So anyhow, chapter 6, Jesus refers to the specific religious acts. The issue is not that the Pharisees and scribes give to the poor, prayed, and fasted. Rather, the problem was in the manner which they did these things. So that's the whole emphasis of what Jesus is trying to say here in his writing on this Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew chapter 6. Beginning at verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. So Jesus is urging his disciples to avoid the public display of righteous acts. Now, doesn't mean that they're to be thieves and beggars and robbers. What happens is the sound the trumpet, that if somebody was doing something really great, you know, I'm remember in the Acts whenever the the people who sold their house, and they came in and said, we've given everything. They made this big deal about selling their house and giving everything. And then Peter says to them, you're lying. And they died on the spot, you know. So that was kind of like the first initiation of this whole era of this new era into the new, boy, I'm losing a lot of words today. Anyhow, it's a new era for the church and the Holy Spirit. So Pharisees, they would do this. They would blow the trumpet. You know, they're at the box where they give to the poor. They would blow the trumpet, and everything's, you know, it's like probably got a bag of leaves, and they're shoving it in the box, and they want people to see them. So do your when you're giving your alms, almsgiving in ancient Israel was very important, because didn't realize this, but if people were poverty, that had nothing, lived off the streets, the homeless, well, the temple, the synagogue would take care of them. So that's where the poor poverty almsgiving really took place, that people were responsible, those who had were responsible to put money in the box, the almsgiving for the poor, and then the synagogue, the temple, would distribute that amongst the poor. So that was kind of like the first system to take care of people that didn't have anything. And the word reward can indicate payment for work or a prize for good deeds. Those who act in a way that seek to impress others will not receive their rewards. So if it's done to be impressed, are you impressed? What was it, Gladiator? You know, he's killing all these people and he yells up them, are you impressed? You don't have to, you don't remember that, huh? Okay. But so that's what came to my mind about, are you impressed he killed all these people? So, all right, I'll go on. So blowing your own horn, not sound the trumpet. Today's vernacular would be people who blow their own horn. Do you know how much I gave to the church? The one in this true story, one individual, he would go to, it was in a rather large church, and he would go to the treasurer and the people who were counting the money after church, and all the loose change and dollar bills and stuff, well, he would write them a check for that, and he would take the change, you know. So, I mean, in a large church, you can have hundreds of dollars or maybe thousands of dollars in change. Well, whenever he did his income tax, he wrote that all off as contributions. The IRS caught him. He said, whoops. People, you know, look how much I gave to the church. So, didn't do it. So Jesus said the purpose of making a show of generous donations would be to gain the glory of men. So God is telling us that our glory and our reward is in heaven. We're working for the future kingdom and the kingdom of God, and lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So we've got it there. But when thou doest alms, this is verse 3, let not thy left hand know that what thy right hand doeth. Now, it seems a little odd, but it's kind of like a proverbial phrase, this thing. And the right hand is often the higher spiritual element. Now, today, you know, that's why, well, years ago, you couldn't be left-handed. They would beat you and all kinds of stuff because you had to be right-handed. So that doesn't work anymore. But right-handed in the ancient society was considered a higher spiritual element. Left is a lesser, base, self-seeking nature type thing. So don't let your left hand, your self-seeking nature, interfere with your higher nature, your right hand, in giving, and don't let the left influence the right, but the right influence the left. So, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So the this is kind of the emphasis that God is watching. Okay, some people, you know, there was in one church they passed, you know, the plate and went back and forth and all that kind of stuff, and they made the statement that if you need it, take it. Well, this one guy, every Sunday, he's helping himself to the plate. And, you know, I was like, okay, you said if I need it, take it. You know, he never got to the point of giving. So I think they bypassed him with the plate. So there's all kinds of things, the way people give, and, or, you know, the attitude they have about giving. I think I wrote about this years ago. This guy was starting a corporation or a company, and he went in and he made a pact with the preacher, and he says, you know, I'm going to give 10% of the company's earnings to the church. And he started off from day one, and about 4 or 5 years later, he's writing a check for $10,000-$20,000 a month to the church. And he goes into the pastor and says, Pastor, I have to renege on this amount of money that I'm giving to the church. And the pastor says, well, why? He says, I'm giving so much money, I can't afford it. And he says, well, we'll pray that God will shrink your business until you're able to pay. I thought that was a good one. Shrink their business. So, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue. So there was this thing about public display. You know, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, there was this ego thing that they had They were in charge, and they wanted you to know it. And when Jesus is crucified, Jesus was taking people away from them. Like when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, these individuals who are now losing popularity, they want to kill Lazarus and Jesus. They're not swayed by the power of God to raise the dead. They're worried about losing their prestige and losing affluence in their society. So these Jesus is hammering on them here. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Their prayers are, and well, he goes on, verily I say that they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which seeth in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we find this whole idea of bringing your requests to God. So we don't have to stand on a street corner. Jesus, I think in one of the Gospels, talks about the Pharisee standing there, and he's yelling out, and he's praying, and he says, God, I thank you I'm not like that wretched sinner. I'm wonderful, and they're terrible, and that was the Pharisees. In fact, when the Pharisees, they would walk down the street, people would have to move aside. They owned the street. so you had to step off the curb. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Heathen is the common expression for Gentiles, and the focus here is less on their non-Jewish identity and more on their status as being outside the kingdom of God. So, vain repetitions. Now we know that praying the Lord's Prayer, pray that every day, recite that as a prayer, and that's fine. But whenever how many Lord's Prayers can you say in an hour? Well, what good is that? And vain repetition is it making a difference in you? Are you praying to God? And are you allowing God to speak to your heart? Through the words of the scriptures and through the words of the prayer. So some people, I don't want to be, some people pray the rosary. Now, I know very little of it. Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou, blessed art through the womb. But anyhow, they have the beads, and they go the whole way through it. And, so many times that they say the Hail Mary. Okay, well, if you do an hour of that, or, every day, I never did get the idea of what that good that does, other than you're praying to Mary so that she can get Jesus' attention, because she is his mother and he'll listen to her. That's what my friends told me. So if Jesus won't listen to you, perhaps he'll listen to his mother. So get on his mother's side. So what we got here? Oh, vain babbling and many words. Jesus was not prohibiting repetition or phrases in long prayers. So he is not, you got 30 seconds to tell God what you want and then you're done. He hasn't got time for you. No, that's not true. He ain't got time for you. Yeah. I was thinking of another story. The guys in Texas, I'll rush through it. Guys in Texas. Oh, she's waving my hand, waving it off. Okay, I can't go there. What's that? I already told you lots of stories. All right, this would be something I know they would want to remember for the rest of their lives, but I can't do it now. vain babbling, right? I know, dear. So anyhow, verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray. So here we have what we call the Lord's Prayer. Some have called it the disciples' prayer. But it isn't that this is the only prayer we should pray, but it's broken into sections. And if we look at the sections that are in this prayer, and we can model our own prayers after this. So let's begin. Four parts. We'll just do the breaking up of the parts. The prayer can easily be divided into the four parts. First is the address to God, verse 9, that our Father which art in heaven. So maybe I won't do it off the paper, that the idea of God, Jesus is telling us that we are to start our prayer with the understanding that my Father is your Father, and we are together in all this. So our Father is Jesus saying, we collectively can say the same thing. Our Father, my Father. It can also, Jesus uses the illustration, daddy, Abba Father. So it's being like a child dependent upon Father. And which art in heaven, meaning that it is hallowed, holy, taking the name of God in vain. You know, people who curse, they are breaking the initial prayer the initial statement of what God is saying, because he is holy, and there are angels in heaven that do nothing more than worship and declare his holiness, and some people have the arrogance to curse his name, and they will answer for that. And so, art in heaven, hallowed is holy. So the request focuses on God's name, his kingdom, and his will. So whenever we say, okay, it's our Father, that's the introduction. And then we have his name, God's name. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provideth, Jehovah Nissa, Jehovah. We have all these listings of God's name that speak about provision. And, God our peace, God our Savior, our provider, all these things, Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. So focus on the name of God. So sometimes we say, Father in heaven, okay, but what does all that mean? It has a lot of meaning. Each word and each phrase has a lot of meaning. So it's the God's name, his kingdom, and his will. Third, the request focuses on human need, and then conclusion or doxology. So the focus on God's name, kingdom, and will, and then the focus on human need. What is the focus on human need? Daily bread. Now, we don't have the problem that they had back in these days. You know, we've got refrigerators, freezers, stores full of food, and your daily needs are, you probably got enough food in the house to last a week, 2 weeks maybe, So if that don't work, shoot a deer and bring it in. No. So you've got this indication that we are to thank God for meeting our daily needs. Even if we have the refrigerator stocked and this pantry stocked, we are to thank him for our daily needs. So our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom. So we're talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in the kingdom of heaven, there are no obstacles to God's will. In heaven, the heavens above, where the angels in the realm of heaven and all that, there are no obstacles. There is no resistance to the will of God. So whenever we are praying that we want God's kingdom, thy will be done in earth. And one translation, I remember years ago reading, that we are the earth. We are the dust of the earth. And so referring to in earth is like referring to us, in us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in us. And as it is in heaven, let there be no resistance in me as there is in heaven, like it is in heaven. So whenever God wants to move or bless or work through us, that we are not resistant to the working of the Spirit and the working of God. So give us this day our daily bread. It is the understanding that our daily provisions come from God, and our daily blessings come from God. And that's what, in our society, people, they don't worry about, food, and, they got time to worry about somebody else's business and complain and bellyache and, all those kinds of things. But the focus is to give thanks for what God has given us for our daily bread, food. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So Jesus puts in here a very important part. Debts, debtors, sins, forgive us. Forgive us our debts. So we are like, God, forgive me of my sins. And then I remember somebody else has done something against me. Well, in today's message, I'm talking on Samson. I never preached on Samson before either. And today's message on Samson, and Samson is always retaliating. He's always getting even. And that's exactly opposite of what Jesus is speaking here. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So it's like your forgiveness is based on how you forgive others. And it's like, well, the problem with that is if you don't forgive others, that will haunt you and eat away at your relationship with Christ. So you lose out on what God wants you to. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God does not lead us to sin, okay? So lead us not into temptation is God give us the strength not to fall for the allurement of sin. For Samson, it's Delilah. give us the strength not to be caught up with Delilah or the sins that ensnared Samson. And lead us not and deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. So whenever we pray, it's like we pray for your kids, pray for yourself, pray for whomever. You ask the Spirit of God to protect them, cover them, keep them safe. Job, the devil said of Job, that I can't touch him because you put a hedge about him. He's telling God that. You put a hedge about him. So if the devil's worried about a hedge, then pray a hedge about yourself and a hedge about your children, your family, and whatever. Pray that God would build this hedge of protection about yourself. For thine is the kingdom. So this is all about, now with the Pharisees and such, they were... they were blowing the trumpet, look at me, hey, look at me, this, look what I'm giving, and I'm not like that wretched sinner, I'm all this. Well, thine is the kingdom. It's not about you, it's about God. And what is God doing in you that, let this be the kingdom of God? It's the kingdom of God here on earth. You're living it. You're in it. You see, eternal life doesn't begin when we die. Eternal life has already begun. And that we will not die. Your body will cease living, but you will, you just keep on going right into eternity. So it's your kingdom. And guess what? To live this life, it's his power. See, that's the whole point of being dependent upon the Holy Spirit and upon the Word of God. That it is the power of God that worketh in us to do and to have God's good pleasure. And so it's God's kingdom, it's God's power, and guess what? It's God's glory. It's not about me, it's about you, Lord. And it's about what you have for me. And guess what? It lasts forever. What we have begun, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. So God is on a mission to complete the good work that he started in you before the trumpet sounds or before we die and go to heaven. So God's on a mission to complete that in us. And so he wants us in the prayer here to focus on what it is that he's telling us. It's about our Father. It's about His glory, His honor, His kingdom, His power working in us to accomplish His purpose, that we may have the prayers and needs of our life met by the Spirit of the Lord, and He directs us by His Spirit and His Word. So the Lord's Prayer is one of those wonderful prayers, and in, like I said, it can be broken into four sections of being able to address God. So every prayer that addresses, you address God. It's got to go somewhere. And then the request focuses on God's name, His kingdom, and His will. So, and the name is looking for the, I think looking at it as for the provision of God. Jehovah Jireh, God will supply all our needs. And then request for the human needs, you know, our daily bread. God, you know, this is what I need, this is, you know. And then conclusion, the doxology, it's all about You, Lord. There's a song like that. It's all about You. You know what? Okay. The next section. That's the most important one. The next one is about fasting. Be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance. So, again, back in the time of Christ, the Pharisees, they would put, you know, here they are usually running around in these really expensive robes and, you know, gold and all, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then they show up in sackcloth, and they got ashes all over them, and they've disfigured their face, and, you know, and it said, oh, it's just like the guy in the hospital. He said, I was going in there, and he was in for lung, couldn't breathe or whatever, and he says, well, don't your lungs heal whenever you stop smoking? I said, yeah, they have a tendency to do that. He said, good. I said, when did you stop smoking? This morning. Okay, yes, you're almost out of the woods. It's evening. And so, you know, the Pharisees, they'd be fasting. Oh, they got all these. How long have you been fasting? Since lunch. You know, so that was their kind of, you know, portraying and blowing the horn. And, you know, there was no short of ego with some of these guys. And Jesus just said, you're a bunch of whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones. So Jesus had a lot to tell them, and he's telling us that whatever we do it as unto the Lord, and everybody doesn't need to know about it. I would tell people, they're praying for direction. Well, what I think you need to do this, I think you need to do that. I said, I'll tell you what to do. If you're worried about how people are going to think, you put a question in the newspaper and tell people to respond yes or no to your address, and whoever has the most wins. Most yeses, no. They didn't do that. Because your decisions are made by you and God. And it doesn't matter how many people agree or don't agree with you. God is my Father. I'm His child. And I'm forever His. And He is going to take care of us no matter what happens in life. His will, His kingdom come. All this in our world is setting it up for the kingdom of God, for the trump of God to sound, and for Christ to return. So what's going on in our world? You know, people are missing it because they're worried about this, worried about that. Who's to blame for? No, God is bringing about His will and His purpose, and it will be His will. The Lord setteth up one and taketh down another, and according to His time, in His way, it's going to happen. We just know it. We know the end. You see? We know the end. So we just have, we're just praying and asking God to get us through. Amen? Father, we do thank You. You are our Lord and Savior. You are the one who keeps us safe in Your arms. You keep us safe, Lord, in Your arms and in Your hands. We ask You, Lord, to make real Your prayer, Your desire that we may serve You. And, Lord, we thank You for the supplying of every need and You build a hedge about us and about our families. God, keep them safe. Keep them close to you. Protect them from the evil one, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.